Turning this evening then to the book of Ruth, in the chapter 4. Thank you to Denver once more for singing for us this evening, indeed for those messages and song that he brought to us. Book of Ruth in the chapter 4, we're going to enter into the chapter, the verse 7. The Word of God says, "Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. Do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed of the Lord, which she gave thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." Amen. Ending our reading there at the verse 15. We're continuing our series then in the Gospel through the Bible, and we come to this little book of Ruth. But what a special book it is as we delve into it afresh this evening. We know, of course, that this is a love story. There is much that warms the heart and excites the mind as we read through the accounts of these but four chapters. And as we come afresh to this book, and as we look into the Word of God this evening, we must remember that what we behold from beginning to end as this book unfolds, as the story is told to us, is but a mention of grace. Now, I want to look at this by form of testimony tonight. I want to look at this referring to this book as a testimony of every believer who's gathered with us. For each chapter is part of that testimony. As we come to chapter 1, we see the testimony of the backslider. The testimony of the backslider. For the Word of God tells us, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And so immediately the Bible places into its proper context the time period in which we find this account. This was the day in which judges ruled over the nation of Israel. And that time period was defined by this statement, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because of the sin that was found in the nation, God judged that sin. And each and every time a deliverer in the form of a judge was raised up. And God knew what it was once more to have a people who were devoted and obedient to his way. But soon the old ways slipped back in, soon the old desires took over, and time after time we see that they turned away from God and they did that which was right in their own eyes. And so this account begins with a family faced with circumstances that are brought about because of the judgment of God. But it tells us there in the verse 1 of chapter 1, a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi. We're introduced to the primary characters of this first chapter. We see, of course, that this man has a responsibility not only to his wife, but also for two young lives within his home. It's a time of famine. A famine, remember, because God is judging his people, because there is a nation in whose heart are known not the ways of God, but rather the ways of their own desires, the way of their own end. So this famine is known. And this need arises, and there is no longer bread in the place of Israel, in the place of Bethlehem, but rather there is plenty just across the border in Moab. So packing up his belongings, this man by the name of Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons into the place of Moab. He goes into that far country. He goes into that place identified with the ways of the world, the things of the world. He does so believing it to be the right decision in the moment. He does so because of the very best of intentions. But he does so in direct contradiction to all that God has commanded. And so rightly we refer to these two individuals, Elimelech and Naomi, as pictures of those who stray away from God. Those who go their own way. Who seek to make their own decisions, and outside of that which God has instituted, outside of that way which God would guide the believer in, his child, these two make their own decision and end up in the country of Moab. We know it doesn't end well, for there in the country of Moab, Elimelech passes away. Their two sons grow up, and yes, they find wives unto themselves, the one by the name of Orpah, the other by the name of Ruth. But they too, that being the two sons, they too pass away. So here's Naomi, and now with two daughters-in-law left in that strange country. And she knows then a desire within her heart to return. A desire to return to the place that once she called home. That place where she once knew the blessing and indeed the presence of God. That place where God shined upon them in days gone past. But now no longer. So setting out for home, she does so with her two daughters-in-law in tow. But making her way along that road, she turns to them and encourages them to stay with their own country, within their own country, and indeed with their own kinfolk. Orpah makes the easy decision. She turns and goes back to where she was from. But Ruth, you'll remember, did not that which was the bidding of her mother-in-law, but rather, she says in the verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Naomi identifies within this woman, Ruth, a desire to not only follow her, but now to be identified with her. No longer is she to be known as the Moabitess. No longer, indeed, does she have that desire to have any attachment nor any place amongst the people of Moab. No, she desires to walk the path that Naomi is walking. She desires to return to that place that Naomi calls home. She desires to know even that the same experience that Ruth now, or Naomi now, will experience in her own life. And so the Bible tells us in verse 19, they too went on until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Here behold the testimony of the backslider. One who once knew the blessing of God, once who knew even that place of position and indeed that place of belonging there within the household of Bethlehem, but now returning to that place where she once was. Her life is not filled with the joy nor indeed with any sense of happiness. Rather, is filled with bitterness and regret. Many there have been who have once enjoyed the blessing of God. Many there have been who have once enjoyed even the very presence of God, but many there have been who then turned their backs and went their own way. And they too will know what it is to say with the hymn writer, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Because none but Christ can satisfy. That's the testimony of the backslider. Tonight there's a message that is contained for all who are perhaps cold in heart, for those who gather with us away from God, who do not know the presence of His being there in their lives, who do not enjoy even His presence day by day in their life's experience. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Yes, you may go out full, but you'll come home empty. And yes, you may go out with a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement, a sense of all that lies before you, but just like Naomi, you'll come home empty, filled with bitterness, filled with regret. So we see the testimony of the backslider. Come into chapter 2 and we see the testimony of the blessed. The testimony of the blessed. For as these two women then we find this place of Bethlehem and begin to settle in once more to those surroundings, the Bible tells us in the verse 1 of chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Notice a shift. No longer are the primary characters found at the beginning of chapter 1, Elimelech and Naomi, those who predominate the theme and the subject of this story. No, the focus is entirely upon Boaz and now Ruth. And he's identified here as being a kinsman. He's identified here as being a mighty man. He's identified here as being of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The name Boaz means in him is strength. In keeping, of course, with this attribute that's given to him here of being a mighty man of wealth, in him is strength. But nevertheless, as we make our way through this chapter, we see then that as Ruth begins to work within the fields of that town, that she knows what it is to receive commandments from her mother-in-law. She goes into the field, and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, in verse 3, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarrieth a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be in the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. There's no doubt that Naomi is beginning to fill in the blanks for Ruth. She's beginning to explain the customs even of the Israelite people. And one of those customs was that in the time of harvest, there would be granted unto those who were of less wealth or less importance within that town the opportunity to go and to gather after the main harvest, the bulk of the harvest had been gleaned. Boaz, remember, is a mighty man of wealth. So undoubtedly, he is one who owns many fields, even in which the harvest is to be gotten from. And so as this opportunity arises, Naomi instructs Ruth to go out into the field. She, no doubt, makes her aware of that law, the rights that she has to go and gather a little so that they both might have a little provision, so that they both might enjoy even the very basic necessities of life. And there she is in the field. She's gathering all that she can as the reapers make their way from one field to the next. Here, as we come into chapter 2, we see the testimony of the blessed. And how is Ruth blessed in this moment? Well, she's blessed first and foremost because Boaz takes an interest in her. This man who is a mighty man of wealth, this man whose very name means in him is strength, this man who is a kinsman of the woman Naomi now takes an interest in this Moabitish damsel. He finds out about her. He asks who she is. And then coming on to her, he instructs her that she is more than welcome to continue with that activity of gathering what remains of the fragments of the harvest. But notice that as she knows these blessings from Boaz, the first blessing that she knows is undoubtedly safety. He says, "Go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" He says, on to her, he says in verse 8, he says, "Go not and glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden." Simply saying, stick here, stay here. Why? Because this is a place of safety. This is a place of protection. This is a place where you will not be harmed. This is a place where you will not be mistreated. This is a place where my name will protect you. She not only knows safety, but she knows satisfaction. For there in the end of verse 9, he says, "When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Yes, she's known many bitter losses in her life. She's experienced the ups and downs of life already. But here in the presence of Boaz, here knowing the provision even that he is granting unto her, she knows satisfaction. The meeting of the temporal needs. But far above that, the meeting of the emotional and the spiritual needs are also represented in all that Boaz says unto her. And so remember this one who stands as a kinsman. This one who is depicted by that name that means in him is strength is then he who provides not only safety, but he who also provides satisfaction. Come a little further and we see that she's also granted supply. She says, "Let me find," in verse 13, "let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine own handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, eateth the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar." Once more, her needs are met. You see, Boaz depicts to us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, does he not? The one who is the kinsman redeemer. The one who is alone able to provide the safety, able to provide the satisfaction, and able to supply the very needs of his children. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in heaven." So Boaz here is not only providing her that place of safety, not only allowing her to know satisfaction, but also supplying and meeting her every need. Then come a little further and we see that with the supplying of that need comes a knowledge of sufficiency. says in the end of verse 14, she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. She did eat and was sufficed and left. And then come down to verse 18, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Here was someone who knew the supply that was granted from this great benevolent figure in the person of Boaz, but here was someone who not only knew supply, but who identified sufficiency. Every need being met. Every desire being satisfied. All because she had come to know the provision of the kinsman. But also identify in verses 15 and 16 special gifts. For not only was there the opportunity to do what the law commanded, that is, to glean after the reapers. Not only was there that supply that was granted for her practical needs as she labored. Not only then was she encouraged to take more home, but there in verses 15 and 16, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let her fall also some of handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." This was over and above that which she could have expected. This was over and above that which he was even deemed under the law obligated to supply. This was over and above the meeting of the practical needs that were identifiable as she labored in the field. And remember, this is a book of the testimony. And this chapter is a testimony of the blessed. And so if you're here tonight as a child of God, you know what it is to identify in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, your kinsman, redeemer, a place of safety, a place of satisfaction, a place of supply, a place of sufficiency, a place of special gifts. That's your testimony. That's the testimony of all those who know him, who love him, and who have come into the knowledge of that relationship with him. The testimony of the blessed. We come into chapter 3 and we see the testimony of the betrothed. For the story continues. And now Naomi is getting more and more involved in advising and providing that counsel to Ruth. It says, Naomi in verse 1 of chapter 3, her mother-in-law said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in a threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Now immediately we say there's nothing untoward nor inappropriate in what has been advised here by Naomi to Ruth. Rather, it is but a further stage in what needs to occur so that truly the end of this story can be known. We've read the end of the story together, how that Boaz redeemed her unto himself. And so this was but a further stage in that journey, a further step that needed to be taken so that that betrothal could be committed to, so that that redemption could be made. But notice in verse 5 the word "all." "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Ruth knows the need that she has. She knows the predicament that she finds herself in. She knows from Naomi's testimony that which the law affords and provides opportunity for. And therefore, in order to know and to realize the great blessing of once more knowing even the sanctuary and the safety of a place called home, of knowing the blessing of a husband, she does that which is required of her. The night progresses, she went down to the floor, did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Verse 9, he says, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest." See, that's the all of the kinsman. He does all that's required. Ruth, the one in need, does all that's commanded. But the kinsman does all that's required. Friend, tonight as we come to behold this in the gospel meeting and as we see in Boaz a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, know for sure that we view in Christ one who has done all that is required in order that you and I might know what it is to enter into relationship with Him. But tonight the question is not, has He done all that is required, but simply that as you gather here tonight, perhaps not able to share this testimony, that you have done what is required. Are you willing then to do all that the gospel exhorts you to do in order that you too might know what it is to enjoy the privilege and the blessings that are promised to all who come by faith to Him? By saying all of this, Boaz is committing to that relationship. He's committing to provide all the resources. And he's affording to Ruth, the one who is in need, that promise of perfect rest. You see, after that commitment is made, he sends her on her way again. But once more, not without supply. "Bring the veil," verse 15, "that thou hast upon thee, hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told him all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley give her me, for he said unto me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Then said she, "Sit still." Sit still. Rest. Quietly and confidently, because He that is promised will perform. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. And so Naomi encourages Ruth, the one who is in need, to sit quietly and confidently at rest. Why? Because the work was all upon the kinsman. She had done that which was required of her. She had committed to fulfill all the obligations that were hers to fulfill under the law. And now the rest was up to him. And oh friend, tonight as we come to this, the book of testimony, the testimony of the backslider, the testimony of the blessed, but the testimony of the betrothed, I tell you that that is my testimony, and that is the testimony of so many others here today. For they came as sinners to Jesus, they did exactly what was required of them in the gospel, and they found in Him one who had done it all. One who had done all that was necessary in order to meet their need. In order to allow them into that promise of perfect rest. So you have the testimony of the backslider, the testimony of the blessed, the testimony of the betrothed, but chapter 4 brings us to the testimony of the bought. Boaz went up to the gate, it tells us, sat him down there, and behold, a kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him. He said, "Who's such a one? Turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. What's occurring here is this reality. The law dictated that the nearest kinsman would have that first opportunity to redeem all that was his under the law. And Boaz was a kinsman. He was a near kinsman, but he wasn't the nearest. And so he identifies this other and he says, come aside, are you willing then to fulfill your obligation, your duty under the law? Are you willing to do that which is required in this moment? And the other kinsman, he said, no. And so what one man couldn't do, praise God, Boaz did. And he redeemed unto himself Ruth. And remember, Boaz is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to consider this, then behold the fulfillment of all that would happen on Calvary. For what the law could not do, Jesus Christ did. You see, by him came grace and truth. By him came the knowledge of forgiveness of sins. By him came the right of acceptance into heaven. By him came the inheritance of a relationship with the Father and an inheritance undefiled and corrupted reserved in heaven for us. Tonight, if you're in here and you know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you know what it is to have forgiveness of sins, then you too know the reality of being bought by the precious blood. Your testimony is, as was the song even of the women unto Naomi in verse 14, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. This book is all about redemption. 15 times in this book, the word redemption, the word purchase, or the word buy is used. And as we come to chapter 4, the fulfillment of that redemption is seen. And friend, tonight you may gather with us and you're outside of Christ and you have not the ability to testify as those who are in Christ can do even through the chapters of this book. Indeed, you may look back upon a life that is filled with regret. A life in which there has been many disappointments, a life in which a great debt of sin has been amassed. Praise God, God always writes the end of the chapter. The last chapter always belongs to the Lord because he is not only the author of our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. Tonight, if you will know what it is to close in on that which he has fully done there in Calvary's cross, then you will know what it is to receive a redemption above and beyond that which you could ever hope for, that which you could ever long for, that which you could ever provide for yourself. Because he has done it all. The testimony of the bod is simply this: they are people of fruit. The Bible tells us that Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife and he went in unto her and the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. There's always spiritual fruit in the life of a believer. The testimony of the bud is not only fruit but it's fame. At the beginning of the account in chapter 1, Naomi and Ruth returned and they were famous for all the wrong reasons. But now, the Lord is famous. The one who is redeemed is famous. He says that his name may be famous in Israel. You see, you and I once had an identity, no doubt, and we were known for this or for that, and you may come as a sinner to Jesus being notorious for your way of life or being notorious for the decisions that you've made or the things that you've involved in. But whenever you know what it is to be redeemed, then he gets all the fame. Testimony of the bod is not only fruit, it's not only fame, but it's future. Because the Bible tells us that as she begat, then the generations passed. And through Ruth, the line of Christ would continue. That which was typified in her life would be fully fulfilled in the life of Christ. friend, tonight you come and you behold all that is before you in this great book of redemption, this great book of the story of God's grace. But feast your eyes on the Redeemer. For far better than Boaz is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Boaz, he was the one who was legally right. He was the one who was materially right. And he was the one who was emotionally right to be the Redeemer. Tonight he has fulfilled the law. He has satisfied the demands of a holy God. And he has the ability to cleanse you from all sin. And above all that, he has the desire to cleanse you from all sin. And to redeem you unto himself. The only question is,